his presentation that we gave to the SANDAC board, so it's really my pleasure to talk about some of the success stories in affordable housing and transit-oriented development in the region. And every city, every county have plenty of examples of affordable housing projects and their own success stories, so I get to talk about that a little bit. As far as acronyms here, I see it says Regional Housing Needs Assessment, which we call RENA, but I heard Paul call it the Regional Housing Needs Allocation. So RENA can mean either both, assessment or allocation, take your choice, but in this region, we call it RENA. Next slide.
Okay, try the clicker, and I'll be your backup.
I should say, go with Andres, okay. So these are some of the success stories that I get to talk about briefly, and I need to keep it brief so the other two speakers have time. I'm going to talk about La Mesa, National City, Poway. We got the front table here all from Poway, so I'm going to tell you about your own project. City of San Diego and County of San Diego also represented here today. Okay, this is the La Mesa General Plan. We're a community of 60,000, nine and a half square miles. And we'd like to show Lake Murray in our jurisdiction, even though it's just outside of the city boundaries of the city of San Diego, but we use it a lot. And you can see, planners can look at this map and see that we've got a central business district, you know, the commercial core in red, and the higher densities near the commercial core, and then the outer limits of the city are in yellow, or all of our single family residential neighborhoods. And if you look closely, there's a pink long linear pink areas on the general plan that run along La Mesa Boulevard, El Cajon Boulevard, University, and parts of Spring Street. And this is our mixed use urban zone. And so the city of La Mesa we put our zoning into place. We put our mixed-use urban overlay zone into place to kind of follow through on our housing element and to meet the needs of the region and the RENA. And in this mixed-use overlay zone, we allow densities up to 40 dwelling units per acre. Really should give credit to Rachel Hurst because she's the one who put this into place. We later got a CEQA lawsuit. We had to put it on hold, but we broke the EIR and got it reestablished. That's the mixed-use overlay zone, and some of the transit-oriented developments in La Mesa include the Fairfield Residential Project at Grossmont Transit Center. And I want to point out that this was built on land that is zoned general commercial. It's not zoned residential. It's not R3. It's not R1. It's not mixed use, this is general commercial. And on this site, we achieved 527 apartment houses, or apartment units. 80 of those units are affordable to very low, moderate income households. There is about 2,700 square feet of commercial that faces right on the trolley platform. So this to me is a great model for the region of smart growth, transit-oriented development, how we're going to meet SB 375 and reduce greenhouse gas emissions by building higher densities at transit stations like this one. In La Mesa, we have six transit-oriented development projects. They're shown on this map. In various locations, but you'll see that they occur at the five trolley stations that we have in La Mesa. So La Mesa, five trolley stations in our city of 9.5 square miles is where the orange line meets the green line at the Grossmont Transit Center. So we have a lot of opportunity in La Mesa for these kinds of smart growth, TOD, SB 375 compliant projects. Okay, in National City, this is a project in National City that was recently built. They've achieved the higher densities and the affordability. This is a downtown redevelopment project, and smart growth incentive funds were used for the beautiful streetscape that you see there. Poway's Housing Solutions. I'm going to tell you about your city now. This is a housing solutions program that in the city of Poway has been very successful. These are all the affordable housing sites in Poway. And when you think of Poway, you think more of kind of a suburban community, not much linkage to transit other than maybe some high-speed express bus lines and their own internal system, but they're able to achieve affordable housing in the city. That's primarily has very, very large affluent homes. Next slide. This is the Solara project. It's an energy efficient LEED certification certified project. The developer on this was Community Housing Works, and you're going to hear from that group as the next speaker. And next slide. Solara is a good project. I think it won an ORCID. And then facts about affordable housing residents in Poway. This might not be what you think. Now I'm probably preaching to the choir, but a lot of times people have this misconception about what affordable housing is and what it does and the kinds of people that it attracts. But the affordable residents in Poway, 72% have a family in the city, 49% have already lived in Poway before moving to their affordable unit. The average length of time, 4.5 years, 92%. Are working age and capable and employed. 50% work in Poway, so you're getting that jobs housing balance. 62% are adults, 38% children, and your household size is 3.1 person per household. Now the city of Carlsbad, so all the others in the audience there can tell you about your projects. These are two affordable housing projects as part of the inclusionary program. The one on the right is next to the Poinsettia Coaster Station. Next slide. The city of San Diego, this is downtown San Diego, Little Italy. This San Diego has identified significant multifamily capacity in the city to achieve some of those RENA numbers. The next slide is City Heights, an example. Another example on the next slide is in Mission Hills. And then the last slide here is in the county of San Diego, and you kind of think that the county is being way out there, but the one on the left is in Fallbrook, the one on the right is in Spring Valley, and these are two affordable housing projects in the county. So that even the county out in the farther reaches of the region are able to achieve affordable housing projects. So the planning directors in the region, we get together pretty much on a monthly basis with a technical working group at SANDAG, and we meet and confer and share ideas and methods on our general plan updates and the housing element, and we have a lot of discussion with SANDAG. That will continue, and I think we're all looking forward to this next round of housing elements. One thing I wanted to point out just real quickly in the region, we just prepared this San Diego Regional Analysis of Impediments to Fair Housing Choice, and this is something that's required by HUD, not HCD, but United States Department of HUD. And Mike, you gotta take care of that phone. Three times and you're out of here. Interesting thing, this analysis of impediments was done for all the entitlement communities in the city, in the region, and that's cities with population over 50,000 receiving their own CDBG allocation. This also includes both the city and county of San Diego. And to me, it reads a lot like a housing element because it identifies problems and issues that kind of need to be resolved, actions that cities have to take to resolve that. And I learned something about zoning, planning and zoning here, and I'd like to teach this to you too. It's called pyramid zoning, and this identifies pyramid zoning as a barrier or an impediment to fair housing choice. And what's pyramid zoning? Has everyone heard of pyramid zoning? Other than those who really know this stuff and wrote it. Okay, pyramid zoning, the cities of Del Mar, Encinitas, Escondido, Imperial Beach, La Mesa, National City, Poway, City of San Diego, County of San Diego, San Marcos, and Vista all have pyramid zoning, and you better fix that, because it's an analysis of, it's an impediment to fair housing choice. And let me just explain to you what pyramid zoning is. Pyramid zoning means, and we're getting into these densities, pyramid zoning means that higher density residential designations permit the range of uses permitted in the preceding lower density designation. So in other words, your zoning ordinances place a maximum limit on density, but not a minimum limit. So as you move from single family to duplex to multifamily, you're not moving with it a base or a lower density, a lower limit on the density. So you could build a single family project in a multifamily zone. And that is a problem in the region. So all of us are gonna have to work on that. But with that, I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker, and we'll move this program on.
Questions for Bill? Jim?
Were those affordable housing units deed restricted for sale or for rent?
They're rental units, but they are deed restricted, so that's going to continue on for the term of the project, which is 99 years.
Okay. Any other questions for Bill?
I was just going to say all the projects, the affordable housing projects that were shown in those slides, are deed restricted.
And for rental and no sale?
I believe they're all rental projects. Maybe no sale.
My question sort of pulls together this latest presentation, but also this morning too. We saw the smart growth map and the smart growth concept map. And thinking about the transit-oriented development that immediately comes to mind with that map, I'm wondering what jurisdictions are doing to ensure that some of the gain that the owners of those properties around the transit station immediately realized as soon as that map was published, how we can capture some of that land value, that increase in land value, in order to fund some of the needed affordable housing. Is anybody doing anything with that?
I think if you're in a redevelopment district, you could capture some of that revenue through tax increment. And of course, 20% of that you could dedicate towards housing programs.